Let's talk about Sam Petch.
Actually, when you asked earlier if that Ginsberg becomes famous, does that somehow ruin the story? And I'd say no, partly because of Sam Petch. That Sam Petch is a local hero, a national hero, a working class hero, a figure of such importance that for such a bizarre thing, just jumping off bridges and falls, that I think
with his pet bear.
His pet bear. He's a daredevil. I think that Williams wants to recenter the hero figure and make it come from many places, and that it could come from Patterson, the figure of Ginsberg, or someone like Sam Patch. It is one of the central narratives here, that the place we find the important things is in a place like Patterson.
Yeah, it's a perfect figure for the project of the local becoming universal. And also, I mean, he descends, he leaps, right? And one wants to get symbolic about it, like the poet's leap of song. And it's explicitly connected on page 16, in my edition anyway, in one of the articles about Sam Petch, where it's after his fatal jump. It says, speech had failed him. He was confused. The word had been drained of its meaning. There's no mistake in Sam Petch. So,
and at that point, you know, New Directions didn't publish what I'm about to describe, but you almost see bells, alarms, and whistles and a finger pointing,
exactly,
saying, this probably is a very important thing for the whole book,
right,
even the parts of the book not yet written.
Exactly.
Sam Patch, the fact that the language failed him is probably the key idea, and
right,
it sets up everything.
Yeah.
It begins to, it's the people on the bus in a later book whose language has failed. It's Williams' great anxiety about the contemporary American. I love the temporary American, but the contemporary American can't talk, can't write. I love the colloquial, the demotic, but I am frightened by the fact that we can't say what we want, can't say what we mean. We're trapped in the bus.
No ears.
What do you make of that? There's no mistake in Sam Patch.
You mean his tagline? Because that was Sam Patch's tagline that he used over and over again. One of his two. What is it? One thing is as easy to do as one can do one thing as well as another, I think, is one of his two.
In a way, that's the same thing.
Right.
Same thing as saying there is no mistake. I mean, I keep thinking of John Ashbery on a completely unrelated point, but saying something like, the wind blows where it will. There's no such thing as the wind blowing in the wrong direction. Sam Patch is simply there.
Exactly.
And there's no such thing as, you know, you're going to throw historical detritus from Patterson into a poem. There's no such thing as wrong information if it comes in a documentary way. I keep thinking of Cornelius Doremus, who's some guy, Patterson guy, from a book called History of Patterson that he just took a paragraph from, illegally, I guess, given copyright. What we find out is that Cornelius Doremus died in 1803, and we get his will, what he left. And it's a list. 24 shirts at 0.825 cents, 5 sheets, pillowcases, handkerchief, 1 handkerchief, 1 pair of mittens, etc. It's just a list. And, you know, this is fairly early in this epic, and you're reading it, and you think, what the hell? Hell is this stuff doing there? It's a list poem, we know. And the next line in verse is, who restricts knowledge? That's the poet, the speaker. And of course, that's the big question. It's a methodological meta statement. You know, who restricts knowledge? Anything can be the subject of poetry. So there's no such thing as the wrong thing about a will by a historical figure. It simply is what it is. That's the material. Williams is thinking about what he calls a time of general privation. The line is, in a time of general privation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what he's referring to are various depressions, thinking about the 30s for himself, but also the 1890s and other periods of general privation. So you get this depression, economic, social reference, But really what happens is that in a time of general privation, people like Cornelius Doremus leave one handkerchief. And you get a list. The poem becomes rich with this tiny, insignificant, almost worthless junk that people leave to one another in a time of general privation. And ironically or paradoxically, the poem gets richer and richer and richer because of this way of thinking about a time of general privation. So the poem gets thingier and thingier, and we realize that the, I wouldn't say antidote, he's not politically that naive, but the alternative, the consequence, the ironic consequence of depression and economic destituteness is Patterson, the poem, which is full of stuff.
It's like a mall.
It's like an alternative to the cliche of a time of general privation. Depressions, I mean, all we have to do is look at photographs, documentary photographs. I'm not trying to make the depression sound like a happy time. But if you look at the documentary photographs done in the 30s, you realize that people had a lot of stuff that they cared a lot for. The handkerchief, this handkerchief my grandfather gave me, Cornelius Doremus, it's worth something to me.